Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not so new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have Suzanne from Suzanne's Band back with us. For those of you who have been following the podcast, this is Suzanne's third appearance this year. We've been tracking her progress on a new Christmas single, kind of a behind the scenes, behind the music, if you will, kind of thing about what it takes to put out a new Christmas single. And it's very exciting because today is the day. It's finally out there. Hi, Suzanne. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Ken. I'm so happy to be here. It's an exciting day that I've been looking forward to since 2019, when I released the last Christmas song, One More Night of Christmas. So it's always, it's like a birth of something special whenever you have those moments. It's just wonderful to see it out there and be able to have everyone hear it, not just me.
The new single is called Underneath the Tree, and I wanted to get that out right away. No suspense, no tricking you into listening longer before you find out what it is. It's called Underneath the Tree by Suzanne's Band. Go get it right now. We'll wait here. Okay. But it's out. It's on Spotify. It's on Amazon. It's on everywhere that
Pandora, you name it.
Yeah. Yes. Everywhere.
YouTube. You, everywhere.
Whatever your favorite place to discover, listen to, purchase new music, you'll find it there. So go ahead and get it. You can wait till this podcast is over if you want. But you could also pause it and go get it right now. Okay. So this is your second Christmas single. For people who listen to, who've listened to this podcast, your other appearances on this podcast, or have listened to the Sounds of Christmas radio station, you've probably heard One More Night of Christmas, which was Suzanne's Band's first Christmas single. It came out 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Two.
Has it been two years? Okay. So it was out in 2019. So you've probably heard that one already. What's the difference between, in just the 2 years, between putting that single out in 2019 and putting this one out in 2021?
Oh, my. There were lots of differences. You know, the just the recording process alone, you know, using a completely different set of musicians, except the bass player is the one commonality between these two productions. And the bass player actually used an upright bass on this one to, you know, give it a little bit different feel. So even that was different. But this was an acoustic arrangement specifically, where the first arrangement was a little bit more of that full band feel and more nostalgic. This was meant to be definitely more current and give it kind of a coffee shop vibe, that singer-songwriter feel, which is very popular nowadays. And but it's still that easy listening kind of Christmas feel, something you could have in the background while you're sipping your hot chocolate and opening your presents, or maybe even sooner, like right now, like today, while you're out shopping or trying to get in the Christmas spirit, you might want this song on and playing in your head so that you're thinking about what you want to put under your tree or somebody else's.
When One More Night of Christmas came out, I mean, having not released any music myself, I don't know exactly what that's like, but I would imagine for your first Christmas single, that was a really cool feeling and it's out there. Do you still, I know it's only your second one, but do you still get that kind of feeling of, you know, of releasing the new thing out there? Or is it just a relief that all this work and everything is done and it's out there?
Definitely both. It's always good to have it completed and know that you've done everything you can do, you know, for that particular song. And, you know, at some point you have to reach that stop and know, okay, you know, I could be playing with this forever, tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. And that's the artistic side of everything, because you keep hearing things and you want to change something. And at some point you just have to go, just stop, just put it out there. Not everybody's listening to it the way you are. So that's one of the trickier parts. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting to have it out there and being played. And then you feel like as an artist too, then you can move on and start working on some new things, you know, which you're thinking about and creating. And so it's nice to have it out there and be done.
And this is an original song, just like One More Night of Christmas was. Yes. I was going to say was, it still is an original song.
What it was and what it shall be.
That's right. Both are original works that you wrote and put together. And we've been following mm-hmm. along in your journey. I think we started talking about this in March when you sort of had, for want of better terms, you sort of had a map out of what you were going to do and where it was going. Mm-hmm. Looking back on that now, how close were you and what you had thought, the way you thought that everything was going to go for this release and the way it actually worked out?
Well, it depends on the perspective. lyric wise, like we had talked about before, there were some changes to the first and second verse, and some connectivity and things like that, where I had an outside party, a third party, look at the song and just look at it for how it made sense. Maybe I wanted to switch a word here or there to connect this phrase better, or, you know, those types of things. So as far as the song straying from my original thought, it didn't have too much of a difference other than a word tweak here and there or phrase. So that made that nice. And as far as the production side of it and instrumentation, I think that was pretty much what I envisioned it. I thought we might just end up with a little acoustic guitar and some slight percussion, but we noticed that by adding the strings and things like that into it, that it didn't change things too much. It just kind of added to it and gave it more support as a song, and it made it a little bit more full, but didn't, you know, bazooka the butterfly, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, because you don't want to just keep building and building on something and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got a rock ballad now because we added all this stuff, you know. we managed to keep its integrity from its intention and still come out okay from a production and a the studio side. It's always a little bit more involved, I think, than you think it is, especially because this was my first song literally to actually produce as well. So that was a little bit different getting into that mix and knowing what I needed to do and how I needed to coordinate things and learning some of the terminology and trying to communicate a little bit better through all this. And that applies to this and to the album itself, which is coming out around February as well. So that'll be exciting to have all this new music out there at the same time. It'll be great.
Oh yeah, but I bet, you know, for people who are listening, and I'll include myself in this, having not put together a Christmas single or an album, it's really way outside of our knowledge area what it takes to do all this. When you think about somebody recording a Christmas song, even when you see like Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 has a new Christmas album out, and he had posted on his social media about recording it and having giant screen TV with Hallmark Christmas movies on it to sort of get in the mood. And as an outsider, you look at this kind of stuff and you see, okay, he's got the lights, he's got the Christmas thing on the video, so he's in the spirit, and boom, that's what it takes, and done. And I'm sure it's not that simple. I'm sure it wasn't that simple for him, and I'm sure it wasn't that simple for you. Did you feel like there were times where you just weren't there, you weren't in a Christmas place, even though you knew you needed to work on this, because as a working musician, you've got to get stuff done, and it has to happen whether you are in the mood or not.
Right. And 9 times out of 10, men tend to be more visual. You know, they like to see things that are happening, and women tend to be more auditory. So just by hearing the music, you know, that would kind of, you know, I could just kind of close my eyes and hear the music and visually be there. So it was a little bit different in that case. You know, when as soon as I was listening to the music a couple of times, then that's where my focus was.
Because I would think that you really do have to be in that place. People are probably listening to this and thinking, well, if you're a professional singer, that's your job and that's your gig, and you go and you sing your Christmas songs. And yeah, maybe, but when you're singing One More Night of Christmas, it feels like you believe it. Mm-hmm. When I hear that, it feels like you're there, you're in that Christmas place, and it feels like you believe it. And I think that you can't really trick somebody when you're singing it. And if you're not, you know, if you're just singing the notes on the page, but you're not into it, I think that that comes across. Do you feel like, was what you're saying that, you know, you hear the music and you get there, was that what it took? Did you feel like you were really, most of the time when you were working on this, that you were in that Christmas place?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because when you start hearing those initial, that intro pattern that's in that song, and then you start the story, because it's telling a story about Christmas almost. You're saying, you know, underneath the tree is where all these things are. And not only that, but, you know, these things are happening around you that make you feel like you're in that Christmas spirit. And then it talks about all the things that are important that you should be looking at as well, like your family and your friends and all these other things that are also underneath and around your tree. And then about, and then of course the next pattern would be keeping that same feeling all year round and not just having it at Christmas time, you know, to always remember that and make each day be that special. So it kind of pulls you in, you know, like some of my songs do, into this kind of emotional place where you're drawn in. And, you know, that's where the voicing and the way the music was created and all that, the way that's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know, and I think I mentioned this on the last time you were here, that with One More Night of Christmas, that has become a song that I hear and it takes me there. And I feel like when I hear it, sometimes I don't remember right away that that's Suzanne's band, and I'll hear it and I'll think, wow, that's so familiar. And it gives me that Christmas feeling. And then I have to try and remember, now, where is it that I've, you know, because I'll have the Sounds of Christmas playing in the background when I'm working on stuff for the Sounds of Christmas. And I'll have it playing in the background a lot of times when I'm doing other stuff too, because I like it. But because of the nature of my doing that and working with thousands of Christmas songs, there aren't a lot of them that still have that magic to take me into that sort of place. And One More Night of Christmas does that. I'm looking forward to, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't gotten underneath the tree yet, even though I've given you chances during this podcast to go get it, but it is really terrific. So I just say, you know, kudos to you for being able to capture that. And it's just something you can't fake. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what I'm expecting you to respond to that long thing with, because it is just that kind of thing. There are some bands who will, and I'm not trying to wail on anybody, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there are some who you'll hear them do a cover of, I don't know, Jingle Bell Rock or something. And on the one hand, it's neat to hear one of your favorite singers or bands do a Christmas song, you know. But sometimes you hear that and it just sounds like they could really be singing anything, because it just doesn't have that little magic quality. And you've managed to capture that on One More Night of Christmas, and I'm sure on Underneath the Tree. And
the trick will be capturing that same feeling, but doing something that's really upbeat, which is planned for Christmas song number 3. So
I wasn't sure. Tuned. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about that, if you were ready to, or if there's anything more that you can say other than stay tuned.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be fun. That's the plan for the number 3 is it's really kind of an upbeat, kind of funky, fun little song. And hopefully it's that same feel where it creates a picture that you can visualize where you're singing it. But, you know, it's got a lot of some catchy repetition in there, too, because that often happens with upbeat songs. You know, you get some of that in there because, you know, want people moving a little bit too. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Is that on the drawing board for next Christmas, or do you think that's farther down the road?
I think I'm kind of probably in my pattern, you know, both for time reasons and financial reasons and everything else. If something opens up where I could get in and record it, it would be nice. But typically it's more financially advantageous when I'm going into the studio to do not just one song, but to do multiple songs and knock some things out while I'm there. So once I get the next album ready, then that's usually a good time to start looking at doing that next Christmas song.
I was going to ask because, you know, I don't want to take anything away from your song's birthday today for Underneath the Tree, but for people who love Christmas music, there's never enough, you know. It's like if your favorite author who has written many books puts a new book out and you're so excited about it and you get it and you just ravenously read the whole thing over the course of a weekend, and that's great and it just came out, but what's next? When's the next one? And it's the same thing with Christmas music. So excited, lots of great music this year, and very excited to hear it. Really excited for some of the stuff that I've already heard. And I can't help but think, okay, well, that's terrific. I hope you're going to put another Christmas album out. And could it be next year? And, you know, and I'm sure that there are a lot of artists who are like, oh, come on, please. I just did this.
We just got done. That time to promote. And especially since I'm promoting the Christmas song and then the album that's coming out in just a couple of months, you know, you need that year to do all the promotion and to get ready and write and get ready for the next one. So in order to have time to do all that and still make time for family and other things that are important too, you kind of have to block it out. And I know, you know, 2 years seems like such a long time, but man alive, when you're talking about musicians that are also playing live and performing and all those other things too, just goes by in a hurry. When you're talking about going into the studio, it's a lot harder to get, you know, a group of musicians in there to just do one song. It's a lot easier when you have multiple songs and you say, hey, we're going to take some time and we're going to, you know, do all these songs together. Then they're, you know, more interested in coming in to help out too.
Yeah. And if you look at, okay, this is hard to equate this with the Beatles, but they just released the giant super deluxe version of Let It Be, which has like 4 or 5 CDs, and it's all the different recordings that happened during that session. And some of the videos for it that you see on YouTube, where you see, you know, take number 40, and these are and written on the box for the reel-to-reel tape that they did that in, or the changes in it and the different things like that. And if you look at that and you're like, okay, well, this was the Beatles. And okay, it was 50 years ago, but still the Beatles had luxuries because of who they were, of being able to do 40 takes on a song in a professional recording studio. Most singers and bands today don't have that kind of luxury where they're going to go in and do 40 takes for
Can
one
you imagine
song.
How much that would cost?
My
word. You know, when you got studios and, you know, that charge anywhere from $65 to $75 an hour. That adds up fast.
Yeah. And that's one song. And don't send me hate email. I love the Beatles and I'm not picking on them. I'm certainly not a huge fan. And I could even be wrong about the number of takes, but I know that there were some songs that they recorded so many different takes, and they had the luxury of being able to do that by the nature of who they were. They could listen to something back and it's almost right, except let's add this or let's change this. And they would go back in and, you know, in 40 takes, but most don't have that. Like you said, that kind of money to be able to do that. And especially if it's a Christmas single, you want to get it right and you want to know in advance. I mean, we have talked about Underneath the Tree. I don't remember. I think it was this is the third part to this podcast. And I think it was a number two that you shared the name of it, but you knew what it was. I don't think in the first one you told me what the name of it was yet, just that it was in the works. And it's all that kind of process. You don't have a shelf of tapes. I mean, nobody has a shelf of tapes anymore because it's mostly digital. But, you know, of all the different iterations of this particular song, because really for a Christmas single, you can't do that.
Just to clarify, I'm sure, you know, with the word takes, we don't necessarily mean that something was a mistake, but sometimes you try things different ways. You say, hey, we played it this way this time. Let's try playing it with this doing this and this doing this. So just for the folks out there that think that, you know, 40 takes means nobody can get it right and we're all inept, it's a little bit more involved than that.
Oh, yeah. And if, you know, I'm not just name dropping the Beatles, but this was a big release and if you listen to some of those takes, it's not that they messed up. And I mean, there's some where they bust out laughing and that's funny to hear, but it's not that they made mistakes over and over and over. It's that they're trying to do different things to get as close to the vision of what the song, what the writer wanted that song to be. And I'm sure to a degree that you were going through that too, but you probably didn't have the luxury of doing 40 takes for Underneath the Tree.
Right. Definitely so.
How different, this might be hard for you to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I just don't know. How different from when you started recording Underneath the Tree to when you finished, how different was the song, the complete song, from where you thought it would be when you started it?
It was pretty different compared to, because, you know, when you picture it, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you think it's just going to be maybe acoustic guitar, a little bass, a little percussion. And then all of a sudden, when you bring in all the different people that are going to be involved in this and they start doing their thing, then everything just morphs from there, because you think, oh, that was really cool when they did this, and let's try this take here. And if we add in this, you know, well, it would be really good if we added bells here in this part. Like the engineer that did all this, Michael Mikulka from Lucky Run Studio, he suggested putting the bells at the end, you know, just to kind of accent it. So we just did a little MIDI, you know, bell kind of thing at the end. And it kind of added that twinkle of an effect in that song to make it a little bit more special, or, you know, different things like that, like the cello and the violin. They both recorded at the same time. So they would come up with, well, let's play this way here. What if we did this here? You know, and so they're coming up with some little tweaks and things to make it more special for what they were performing. And it just kind of, all of a sudden you hear the whole thing and you go, wow, that came out all right.
So how much of a break do you give yourself before turning your attention to the album that's coming out early in 2022?
They're very intertwined, because when you're in the studio, it's like, okay, for this day, we're working on the Christmas song, and this day we're working on these three songs. So, and then when I'm, you know, listening back and trying to, you know, make changes and all this, I try and just focus on one thing for that day, because if That way, if I'm listening to this and I'm listening to something from the album, you know, then it starts running together a little bit. So now that I've got the Christmas song out of the way, then I can just, you know, pretty much focus on the album, because we're still in the mixing process on that right now. So every week I'm at the sound studio that's taking care of that. And we are working hard trying to get it ready.
Do you have a particular release date for it yet, or is it too soon?
No. I'm shooting for February 17th. That's the date I would like it to be done and out. And all that will depend on whenever we get the final mixes done, whenever they get to the mastering process and get all the ISRC codes embedded and all that sort of thing and get back and get to, you know, CD baby and come back. And, you know, there's always all the business side of business that kind of can slow you down. So we just kind of shoot for it and hope. But, you know, I think even if something weird happened, I think by the first part of March, it should be out. So that's kind of my window, mid-February to early March is a window to have it done. But I think the CD cover is going to be really cool. It's going to be something totally different from what I've done before. You know, it's kind of a really cool effect. And I can't wait to have it out. It'll be Ice and Fire is the name of the album. Just a little sneak peek.
I was just going to ask you if it had a name and if you were ready to reveal the name.
Yeah, we've actually been playing some of the songs off the album live here and there to tease fans. So everybody's been really excited about it and they can't wait to hear it with the full band and have everything come out. So it's going to be really nice. Looking forward to having that out too. It'll be 9 songs on that one.
Speaking of performing live, do you have any Christmas shows coming up?
Yes, we're in the works to do a Christmas performance at the Perfect Latte, which is where we run an open mic. So for sure, that one's coming up soon. We haven't set a date on that one. I just reformed my live band group. The bass player had to step down due to some health reasons with his home. And I had kind of been trading drummers here and there based on schedules. So we've got new folks in the mix, and now that we've got them in there and learning all the music, then that'll be easier for me to start planning out some live shows as well. And then you've got so many that are last minute. You know, you get so many of these gig requests where like, oh, hey, can you do something on Saturday? Well, it would have been massively done 2 weeks ago. We could have put something together for you, but, you know, or somebody has a corporate holiday event and they need somebody. And, hey, could you come in on, like, this Friday and do that? You know, so you get a lot of those last minute things. So that's just kind of the way it rolls. And I think it's, you know, since I started playing live, you know, you just see so much of that. It's nice when people can think ahead, but typically those gigs are more like weddings. You get more gig requests for weddings that are planned further out, but everything else seems to be a little bit more last minute in that regard.
If I remember right, I think that you said that last year in December, when you did some live performances, that you tested out underneath the tree. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. We were already kind of feeling the waters to see, you know, because that way, you know, you don't want to spend a lot of time on a song if it's, you know, not really reaching people. It's a lot easier to do that before you dropped a lot of money into it, you know. So sometimes you'll play around with some new things that you're working on just to get reactions. And everybody really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I can't help myself, so I have to ask. So when you do some Christmas shows this year, any chance you'll be teasing the new Christmas song?
Unfortunately, no, because I've been so busy recording and everything. I haven't had time to, you know, even look at starting to finish the other. I mean, I haven't done much writing at all. That's the one thing that has really suffered, I think, for 2021 is just writing in general, you know, with the next album, with the next Christmas song, all that. So I'm really hoping to be able to spend some time up in my loft, as I call it, my music room up there, and work on some creating for 2022. That's definitely a goal.
What's the best way for people to keep up with you, your live performances and new releases and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Through your website?
Yeah, website and Facebook are the top two, because definitely Facebook is one of the first places I'll, post things. Sometimes there's a little bit of a lag, before it hits the website, so I can focus on my creative side and not get bogged down in the technical side, which is definitely low on my skill set. So, as far as shows, most of the links, when you go to the EPK that's on the website, it's got a link to a calendar, which all the gigs are usually listed on. There's some things, there's private events and, of course, things like that aren't going to show up. So, you may look at a month and go, there's only one or two things. Well, because you're not seeing the private gig calendar, or whatever. So can't always go by that. But, the best thing is just definitely follow the Facebook page, like all those things. And same thing with the website. Oh, well, that's true. Through the website, you can sign up for the email blast. We only do that once a month because I don't like, to just totally annoy people with emails every week. So once a month is about it, but at least it gives people a feel for what's happening in the studio. And that's another thing, you might see pictures on those email blasts of things that are going on that won't necessarily be posted elsewhere. So that's the positive side for being on the email list. And sometimes the email folks will get links to things that won't be released on Facebook, for a little bit longer. So just depending on the timing of the month.
Underneath the Tree, out today, if you're listening today on Friday, November 5th. If you're listening after that, it's still out.
But it's, you can still get it.
Yes, you can. So go get it. Anywhere that you like to listen, to stream, to buy music, you'll find it there. Suzanne's band, Underneath the Tree, is the new single. And of course, you'll hear it on the Sounds of Christmas. You may already have heard it. Suzanne, thanks so much for letting us tag along on this journey. I wish you great success with the new song. And I will try not to pester you about the next new song, at least for a little while anyway.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me, Ken.
And thank you for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. We're on a couple dozen different podcasting sites already, and since you're listening to us now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is www.soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.